We had to learn the hard way. Captain Daniel Morgan, an infantry company commander in the 101st Airborne Division, wrote in an essay that rocketed around military email circles. Morgan's essay was popular for two reasons. It was unusually well-written, and it was relentlessly specific. One of the most striking lessons the 1992 graduate of Georgetown University passed on: every soldier in the unit should carry a tourniquet of sufficient length to cut off the gush of blood from major leg wounds. Trust me, he wrote, it saved four of my soldiers' lives. Morgan also emphasized to incoming soldiers that they needed to be ready to kill quickly, yet precisely. If an enemy opens fire with an AK-47 aimlessly, which most of these people do, you should be able to calmly place the red dot reticule of your M68 optic device on his chest and kill him with one shot, he admonished. If you do this, the rest will run and probably not come back. And while patrolling, if you see an Iraqi notice you and then make a cellular phone call, change your planned route, and especially avoid the next major intersection where an ambush may be assembling. Like Morgan's, many of the commentaries that were composed around this time had a tone of no-nonsense urgency. This was no longer a discreet, peacetime military that liked to pretend it could achieve zero defects. There was too much crap I saw over there that guys just don't understand, and it meant soldiers' lives, Captain John Rann, a 4th Infantry Division engineer, wrote in an essay that was posted on www.companycommand.com, which began as a private website by and for junior Army officers, but became sponsored by the Army and received an unusual kind of semi-official status. Much of what his soldiers were called upon to do were actions for which they hadn't been trained, Rand said. They will have to write a new book for this when it's all over. As a whole, the soldiers' commentaries tended to portray a harsh picture of Iraq and its people. Captain Ken Brager, a company commander in the 4th Infantry Division, headquartered in Tikrit, deep in the Sunni Triangle, stated that newcomers should understand that most of the people here want us dead. They hate us and everything we stand for, and will take any opportunity to cause us harm. Five subjects dominated the new veterans' discussions: the innovative nature of the foe, the need to update tactics and equipment, ways to keep troops alert, and again and again, how to run a safe convoy. And then, less as a lesson than as a warning, there was the impact of casualties. The writers also repeatedly expressed a growing respect for their adversaries. The enemy is getting smarter, Brager wrote in his November 2003 essay. He watches us and makes adjustments accordingly. This new respect also surfaced in an official Marine summary that said, "The enemy is clever and should not be underestimated. Commanders that are ignoring or wishing away enemy capabilities and lethality are sustaining casualties." To a surprising degree, the lessons learned summaries focused on how to operate a military convoy safely. In 2003, highway overpasses became the Iraqi equivalent of ambush points on jungle trails during the Vietnam War. The developing wisdom was always to move toward them with caution, and then swerve from lane to lane at the last minute. Some studies also recommended that a gun truck, that is, a big vehicle with a mounted 50-caliber heavy machine gun, speed ahead of the convoy and train that gun on the bridge while the convoy passed under it.